All right. Good morning, everybody. I'm very excited and humbled and honored to be here. I think if you would have asked me a year ago, Carl, I would have probably had a little different testimony, probably not quite as long as today's, so bear with me. But I think it's something that as you sit out here and you hear people like Brian and Mark give their testimonies that you can't help but be kind of humbled and try to think about, you know, how your story in your own mind doesn't measure up to that. And I think for the first time, I feel like there's stuff in my life that I have to share. So I'm truly honored and humbled to be here. So and here's why my story would have been a little different about a year ago. I grew up Catholic. I grew up in a Catholic church. We went to Mass every Sunday. When my parents were in their mid-30s, they were saved. And we left the Catholic Church. So we spent a period of time as a family trying to find kind of where we would fit in. Tried different denominations, different churches. And we did church a lot at home on Sundays, praise and worship with family and friends and kind of read and did our own Bible study as a family. That kind of took me through middle school and the first part of high school. My junior and senior year in high school, I'd always played sports, played football and basketball in high school. And got recruited by a lot of Division I schools for football. That was kind of my plan for my life, was to try to get a scholarship, play football in college. I quickly learned that my plan for my life, much probably the same as yours, isn't necessarily what God has in mind for us. So my fourth game during my senior year, I broke my foot. Nobody around me. There was literally nobody within about 10 yards of where I was. Just fell down. Broken bone in my foot. I was going to miss the rest of my senior year, half a basketball season, have surgery. So my world at that time as a 17-year-old was kind of turned upside down. So a couple weeks after I break my foot, I have surgery. During that time that I'm kind of recuperating, about 200 yards from where we're sitting today, where Plain City Fitness is, that warehouse was rented by a church from Dublin. That was one of the youth groups that I attended during high school. In October of my senior year, they put on a presentation called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. If you're not familiar with that, it's basically a production that they have people from the church act out different scenes. So, you know, there's a couple kids that are supposed to be 17-year-olds and they're out drinking and they crash their car and they die. And then the next scene is when they, you know, right after death, they're either accepted into heaven or they go to hell. And there's several of those throughout the night. And for the first time in my life that evening, I raised my hand and accepted Jesus Christ as an emotional response in my life. I lost all interest from schools to play football, but I was very, very, very fortunate to be able to play basketball in college at a small school, Mount Vernon Nazarene University. I was looking back now very blessed to be there to go to chapel, you know, 3 days a week to be in Bible studies and on missions trips. I got to go to Jamaica for 2 weeks and play basketball there. And that was something that, you know, again, during college, I had a lot of emotional responses to the gospel. And I'll get to that in just a minute. So before my junior year, I met Beth. We dated on and off for a couple years. And then right after I graduated, we got married. It's literally the week after we got married, I started the police academy and began my law enforcement career. So first 5 years of my law enforcement career, a lot of success and a lot of struggles. I started as a public safety officer at Union County Sheriff's Office. And what a public safety officer is it's somebody who I was a deputy sheriff. And I was a police officer. That was my main function. But I was also cross-trained as a firefighter and an EMT. So you're assigned to a certain area. I had Jerome and Mill Creek Township, which is just north of here. And you respond to any call for service in those two areas. So it was very challenging, a lot to learn. You know, you have to learn how to deal with the people and then different personalities within law enforcement and fire and EMS, but it was something that was challenging, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Carl said something last week, and we're going to keep going through this story, but I don't know how exactly you phrased it, but you said that you wish you could always learn what God has for you at McDonald's with an ice cream and French fries, that we weren't stubborn as people, and I was super stubborn, and that injury in high school was because I was stubborn, and 2.5 years into my law enforcement career, I got injured during a training exercise. Again, had, you know, another realization that I'm stubborn. I'm not following Christ. I use him to a point and then I try to do it on my own. So a couple years, you know, I get injured. during that time that I'm injured, I'm off for about 6 months, off and on at work. Beth and I have Mia and Lily. So we have them at that time. Beth decides I'm going to stay home and raise the girls. So I go back to work. I immediately get appointed to be a detective at the sheriff's office. I felt like, and still to this day, feel like that was kind of a calling. It was a unique position that utilized my strengths. And I loved every minute of it. Again, I get to a point at that position where I start thinking that I'm responsible, that it, you know, I was the one that got there, that God didn't have anything to do with it. So 18 months after I began that position, I get laid off. There was 26 of us during kind of the recession that happened to. That hit me pretty hard. Beth had left her job at Children's Hospital, so I carried benefits, pretty much our main income, and she's pregnant with Jackson. So, you know, that was a struggle. And, you know, I look back now, I feel like my world was crashing down. So, took a little while, but eventually landed where I'm at now at the Attorney General's office. So God, I have no doubt, was in that as well. It's a wonderful job. I've been there 7.5 years. I love what I do. But if you had asked me a year ago, that's pretty much where I would have told you that my testimony was, that God used these struggles, these trials in my life, surgeries, layoffs, things like that, to kind of mold me into who I am and eventually lead me here. And I know that while all of those are real, that nothing else in my life really changed. Beth went back to work last summer. She said, "Hey, I feel like, you know, the kids are in school now. I left my job years ago. I want to go back to work full time." And she started looking for positions. And I, on the outside, was completely supportive. On the inside, I was not happy. I was actually very angry with her. I resented her because I knew it was going to cause more work for me. And I just selfishly didn't want her to go back to work. I didn't tell her any of that. It was probably the hardest 2 or 3 months we had in our marriage. And I just kind of resented her for it. But I knew that the one positive part about her going back to work was that we would make more money. And we talked about that. We had been through the layoff before, knew that we didn't want to get to a place where we relied on two incomes. So the state of Ohio offered Dave Ramsey's plan last summer to any state employee for free. So we decided, okay, let's do that. Let's sit down and talk about what this Dave Ramsey plan is all about. So here's kind of my story last fall where things started to change a little bit in my life. So I realized when we sat down to go through our finances that I was a liar. I lied to Beth about money all the time. I wasn't shipping money into offshore accounts or anything, but I have my own bank account. I have my own credit card. She had her own. If I wanted to buy a gun or if I wanted to buy fishing equipment or hunting equipment, I never told her about any of it. I just did what I wanted to do with it. I never consulted her. I never talked to her about it. We never really looked financially together at anything. So I realized pretty quickly, if we're going to do this, not only do I have to change financially what we do, and she has to change it as well, but I have to address some sin in my life. I have to address the fact that for 12 years at this point, I haven't told my wife anything financially that I'm responsible for. I've just kind of kept her out of the loop. We're supposed to be one. We're supposed to be married, and I'm lying to her. So I knew I have to confront this head on. You may think it's a little bit weird that I've said emotional responses a couple times so far, and here's what I mean by that. I think in order, you know, when we hear a story or we hear a sermon, we participate in something that hits us emotionally, as I do often, tear up or you know, physically have a response emotionally, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to change your life from that point forward. Okay, it may change briefly, and that's what I had experienced up until last summer, last fall. I went through, you know, October of 1999 when I raised my hand and say I accept Christ. That was an emotional response. It was a short period of time when I would never deny that Jesus was Lord. But I wasn't actively following him and trying to improve my life and trying to rid my life of sin. Same thing in Jamaica. In Jamaica, we got to work with kids at an orphanage, and that's probably the single most emotional day of my life to see, probably what the Stutzmans see every day, but to be there, to pray with them, to have them pray for us and trying to give them clothing and things that we had, and them trying to give us, you know, the one or two things that they had to take with us, was probably the most emotional day of my life. But nothing changed, again, for long term. So I went through all kinds of these, the injuries that I went through. The one thing I do think that those taught me was humility. And I think that's probably the biggest lesson that I learned through all of those. I feel like when I sat down to go through this and make some notes about it, I felt like in Mark chapter 4, where he gives the parable of the sower, that is one of those is me. You know, he throws the seed out and the birds immediately come and take some of the seed. And the second part of that is, what is me? You know, the seed gets buried in very thin soil on rocky ground and it sprouts immediately. And that was me. That was that emotional response. It sprouts and then it's scorched by the sun and it dies. And that's kind of how I felt like my life was when I sat down to write this. You know, you have that short-term emotional response, but nothing changes long-term. I wasn't reading the Bible every day, wasn't praying every day, not removing sin from my life a daily priority. Matthew 7, chapter 13 and 14, a verse that I'm sure most of you have read. That whole chapter is probably one of my favorite in the New Testament. I've read it in college. I probably read it in high school. I've had it. Carl's preached it several times. But when I read it last fall, it struck me differently. In the verse 13 and 14 says this: enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. And I certainly wasn't on a narrow path. It continues in 21 and 23 to say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. Again, that's a verse I had probably read 10 or 15 times. But when I read it, for some reason, it scared the crap out of me. It shook me to my core and made me question my salvation. And I realized that not only did I need to ask God for forgiveness, you know, on a regular basis, not a one-time thing. I need to continuously ask for his grace. I need to start reading more. I need to start praying more. But I also realized I needed to ask my wife for forgiveness, because this started with realizing that I wasn't being honest with her. So that was a conversation that we had. And I'm going to ask that we share a quick video. If you've been through Dave Ramsey, this is called his gazelle video. And I'm kind of an analogy guy and a story guy, and this stuck with me, maybe not for the reason that he's talking about.
First thing was, I discovered, I was reading through Proverbs. If you read Proverbs over and over and over again, you get a master's degree in finance. It's amazing. There's 31 Proverbs, so you can read one of that. Just get you a little spiritual one of that. And so I'm doing my little spiritual one of that one morning, and I've read through this a bazillion times, and I've heard this, people calling on my radio show, they're getting out of debt, and they say, I'm getting out of debt. They have this thing in their voice that tells me that they're going to make it. And then the others, they call in, they're like, well, do some kind of, like, maybe this strategy, and maybe the word sort of, maybe. So what sort of do you do? I'm like, well, I can't help you. Call me back. I didn't know what it was. But call me back when you're mad or something, you know? You got to get that thing going, you know? And I couldn't put my finger on it. And I was reading through Scripture one morning, and I hit Proverbs 6, 1 through 7. And it says, if you've signed a surety, my son, which is Old English Bible talk, forgot yourself in debt. If you've gotten yourself in debt, do this. Now, I teach people how to get out of debt, and I want to get out of debt, and so I saw a do this, and my little ears went, whoa. Because I had a spiritual experience a few years ago. I discovered God is smarter than me. And when he says, you're here and you don't want to be here, so do this, I'm listening for what comes after that. That's a big deal. If you're in debt, biblically, do this. Give no sleep to your eyes and a slumber to your eyelids. And deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, a bird from the hand of the fowler. And I promise you, it's not very reverent, but I promise you I went, great, gazelles. What am I going to do with gazelles? Great Lionel metaphor, talk about it in Sunday school. But, I mean, how are you going to talk to people about gazelles and debt? This is that night God answered my prayer. I was scanning the channels, and I hit the Discovery Channel. And there on the Discovery Channel, There was the Gazette. They were out there gazelling around. And what were they doing? Well, I said, well, you know, here it is. There's the Gazelles. And you know the Gazelles were not there by themselves, right? You know somebody else was around, right? Looking for lunch in all the right places. And Gazelles, they have a cheetah detector right behind their ear. When they see a cheetah, they go like, uh-oh, cheetah! Run! Now, the Discovery Channel said that the cheetah is the fastest animal on dry land. We had to slow this down so I'd have time to talk. He goes from 0 to 47 miles an hour in 4 leaps. Now, it's starting to come clear to me. Here's how you get out of debt. You deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. The primary predator of the gazelle is the cheetah. Here's how you get out of debt. You run! You got out of Boston! Didn't he? Hey, you want a free hat? Hey, I'll give you a t-shirt. Just sign up for this credit card. You want a pizza? Hey, come here, kid. You need to build up your FICO score. Come here, kid. That's how you get out of debt. You gotta run, baby. You gotta put it in gear. You gotta go, 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 go. Kick it, buddy. Kick it.
That's good. Thank you. So I picked this video for two reasons. Number one, the first credit card I ever got was at a Cubs game because I was freezing and I didn't have enough money to buy a sweatshirt, so I signed up for a credit card to get a towel. But more importantly, because the first time I saw this video and we talked about doing this plan, I like Dave, but if that's the intensity that I have going after my finances and that he has, then why isn't that the intensity I have for Christ? So at this point in the fall, I kind of realized there were some things that are going to change. And listen, there's sin that's a sin for everybody. You know, we can go through murder, theft, adultery. Those are things that are sinful for any of us. And then there's things that may be a sin for me and may not be a sin for Carl, and may, you know, for somebody else. So that's some of the things I'm going to kind of talk about. The first I kind of already touched on was the debt. You know, it's not a sin to have debt for a mortgage or a car loan. But if we're taking out debt because, and we're racking up credit cards because we're going to buy guns and we're going to buy gold and silver and things that I collected because I didn't care to tell my wife and I was worldly, then that's a problem. 1 Timothy 6 tells us, for love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So the first thing we did, not only because of this, but because it was a sin, was get rid of a lot of that. I sold all kinds of stuff last year. We made I don't know how many trips to the thrift store to donate stuff that they can hopefully make money for missions trips on. Just getting rid of things that were of excess in our life that we didn't need. The second thing that I knew as soon as we started on this path and we kind of had some success with the debt was you know, when we start thinking about this intensity, and that's the reason that program is successful, is because you build momentum. You know, you overcome a small struggle, and then you believe that you can overcome the next hurdle. And that's where I was after we started harnessing some of the stuff for the debt was, another one of these sins that is a sin for me, maybe not for anybody else in the room, but was tobacco. I dipped for 19 years, and a lot of you probably didn't know that. I started on and off in seventh grade. At 19 years old, I started dipping all the time, every day, up to 2 cans a day. You know, it was one of those things that my wife and I fought about it. My kids didn't like it. You know, they would ask constantly for me to stop for health reasons and just because it's kind of a gross habit. I hid money from Beth so she didn't know how often I did it or how much I spent money on it for. You know, and it was one of those things that I knew I had to tackle. I wasn't very excited about it, I'll tell you that. I had tried before. I wasn't successful with it. And it was like the beginning of December, and Beth and I talked about it. I said, if I'm going to do this, it has to be different than the last time. I have to talk to her about it. You know, we prayed about it. I made a doctor's appointment, talked to the doctor about it, and then quit right after the first of the year. And it's been like 135 days or so since then. So, again, it's just another little, you know, it's these little things that kind of help build up. momentum for you. Matthew 18, 6 through 9. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of these things that cause a person to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. If your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. For it's better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. No, I didn't cut off a foot or a hand or anything else. But I do think that this is a little more literal than maybe at times we think it is. Those are two things that happened to me in the last 6 months or so. The third one that I'm going to talk about happened about 3 months ago. My iPhone was having battery problems. I'm fortunate that I had a family member that had an extra one. Said, hey, you can just take this one. You don't got to buy one, which was great. But I knew at that time, as I'm taking everything off of my old phone and loading apps and things onto a new phone, that God's saying, hey, there's something else we're going to work on right now. And you're not going to like it either. So, I never was on Facebook, but I was certainly a social media guy. I had a LinkedIn profile, a Twitter page, an Instagram account, and spent a lot of time on them. It's not like I came home from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. every night, but probably an hour to 2 hours a day, off and on, checking it for 10 or 15 minutes, looking at pictures and videos people post and news feeds and professional articles. And I knew that that's an hour to 2 hours a day that I'm not spending reading the Bible or praying or working on my relationship with Jesus. So when I'm loading those on there, I'm like, I can't do it. I can't put them back on here. So I've probably checked those accounts once every 2 weeks or so since then, just to check on family and friends. And now I spend that time on different Bible apps that I have, reading a verse here or there. I'm in so many devotionals with different people at times I feel overwhelmed. But I think it's one of those things that if God calls you to do it, you have to do it. You got to give him the chance to make a change in your life. So, in closing, I guess a year ago, I didn't realize a lot of these areas in my life that were sinful. I didn't really ask for him to bring those to my attention, but he certainly did. And I feel so much better for it, but also, to be very honest with you, I feel kind of scared because I don't know what's next. I don't know what areas he wants to change in my life or what path he wants me to go down. And that would be my challenge for all of you. I try to listen. When I listen to a testimony, I try to take one or two things away from everybody's testimony. And I ask you to take one away from this one, and that is to ask God if there's something in your life that maybe you're not even aware of right now that's causing you to stumble. And if there is, for him to give you the strength, the courage, and the grace to address it and rid your life of it. I promise you, you'll feel better about it. Thank you.